Tonight, our 10-minute speaker is Ashley I from San Diego.
Hi, I'm Ashley. I'm an alcoholic. I have to say I have like a naturally booming voice, so the microphone's really tripping me up. I feel like I have to talk like one of those NPR people or else I'm going to like burst people's eardrums. So I apologize. Thank you for letting me be here. Thanks for asking me to be of service, Sam. Welcome to the newcomers. Just stay. That's what we say at my home group. Just stay. It's easier. My sobriety date is April 29th, 2016. So I'm coming up on 3.5 years by the grace of God in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I have a sponsor. My sponsor has a sponsor. I've worked the 12 steps. I also take women through the 12 steps as a sponsor. I have a home group. I have a commitment at that home group. And most importantly, I just try to stay in the herd. I try to stay with other alcoholic women especially, and I try to be of service, whether it's speaking at a meeting, sponsoring women, answering the phone if another alcoholic is calling, or just opening the door for someone, saying hi at a meeting if I see that someone's new, because that kind of stuff really does change lives. It changed mine. So I'm originally from North Carolina, not from San Diego. I was born in the country, like barefoot in the woods country, born and raised. I did not grow up in an alcoholic home, but my father is an adult child of an alcoholic, an ACA, and so I grew up with the remnants of alcoholism. There was a lot of anger in my home, a lot of trauma, a lot of screaming, and as a result of that, I was an only child. I grew up an only child. So as a result of that, my first drug of choice was escapism. I would hide for hours. My parents would get home, and they would just start screaming at each other. I would go upstairs, and I would play with up to 7 imaginary siblings that I made up because I was so sad and so lonely. I gave them names. I gave them personality traits. I gave them zodiac signs. I answered the phone as them. I lied and told all my friends that I was like 1 of 7 and that I had a really happy life. And I got busted, which was not fun. But I would also play with this like big pink Fisher-Price dollhouse that had like the perfect mom and the perfect dad and the perfect brother and sister and baby. And I distinctly remember being 7 or 8 and trying to squeeze myself inside the dollhouse to like watch TV with them. Because I was just so sad, y'all. I was such a sad, 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 lonely kid. I didn't start drinking until I was in high school. I was a good kid. I didn't want to rock the boat. Mainly, I didn't want to be seen. I liked to be invisible. I had my first drink when I was 17 on New Year's Eve. So this was 2005. You can do the math. My friend and I made a New Year's resolution that we were going to get drunk that year because we didn't drink. And it was the first time I ever had a sip of alcohol. And I distinctly remember sitting on the floor of her apartment, her mom's apartment. We split a bottle of red wine, one bottle. And I remember, I'm 32. This is when I was 17. I still remember the moment I went from being sober to buzzed to drunk to wasted. And that is how I drank for 11 years. Like, I never drank like a lady. I never drank non-alcoholically. The first time I drank, it was like my body was like this for 17 years, and I was able to breathe for the first time. Like, that first time getting drunk, I felt smart, I felt pretty, I felt worthy. I was like, oh my God, I'm not alone. And I chased that feeling for 11 years. That's just what I did. I studied theater in college. Theater people drink a lot. We party hard. We work hard. After I graduated, I was a professional actress for like 6 years, and I did a lot of touring. I was like touring all over the state performing, and I would go to new cities, and I didn't want to meet anybody, and I didn't want to leave my hotel room, so I would just get really, really drunk, and I would perform during the day. And this was children's theater, by the way. I don't recommend ever being hungover during children's theater, ever. So I was doing children's theater for like 5 years, performing like 5 shows a day, going to my hotel room, getting drunk, rinse, repeat for years. I don't like to talk about too much like what it was like because I'm an alcoholic, so I drank like you. I drank if I was happy, if I was sad, if I had feelings, if I needed to be around people, if I needed to put on my makeup, if I needed to talk to other humans. Like, I always had to be drunk, always. And if I wasn't drunk, I needed to be on the way to getting drunk. Like, how am I going to get my alcohol today? Who's going to get it for me? How can I, like, maneuver it to where I can have this much in the fridge, but my partner doesn't see it because he doesn't approve, so I'll switch from dark alcohol to light alcohol because then I can put water in there and he won't see. Normal people don't think that way. Like, that's how I drank, just, like, manipulative. And so what happened was I moved out to San Diego with my partner when I was, or it was like 2015. He was going to grad school. And at this point, my alcoholism was so bad. And when I drank, I cheated. When I drank, I was physically, verbally, and emotionally abusive to people. I destroyed property. I drove. I said really, really hateful things. Like, that's just what I did when I drank. And by 2015, my partner had had enough. He told me that if I was going to marry him, I had to go to couples counseling. We were engaged at that point. I destroyed our relationship, and he, you know, put a ring on it, and we were engaged, and we were planning a wedding. And I would have to get blackout drunk to plan the wedding. So I would, like, wait. I would come to, and I had ordered wedding invitations with the wrong date on them. It was awful. So he said, if you want to get married, we have to go to couples counseling. And I'm like, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in therapy. Side note, I'm in grad school to be a therapist. At the time, though, I did not believe in therapy. But I went because I wanted to save face. On April 29th, 2016, we went to couples therapy. And this woman who I'd never met before was like, do you think you're an alcoholic? And it was like this, I could see, it was like this outside, outer body experience. Like, I'm watching myself, and my partner's crying, and I reek from the night before. She's like, do you think you're an alcoholic? And I remember going, yeah. And I had been fighting that question forever. People were always asking me if I thought I was an alcoholic, and I'd say, no, I'm fine. Let me give you my reasons why. But for some reason, in that moment, in that office, when that woman was like, do you think you're an alcoholic? I was done. I was so done. And I said, yeah, I think I am. And she was like, well, do you think you could maybe go to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting? And I just so happened to have a colleague, a friend, who was sober. And she had and still has quite a bit of time sober. And she was really cool. She could hang out without drinking. She could drive us places because she didn't drink. She could help me plan things because she wasn't drunk all the time. And she seemed really happy without drugs or alcohol. And that was really weird to me. But I knew she was sober, and I knew she could take me to a meeting. And so when this woman was like, do you have anyone to call? Like, can you go to a meeting? I said, yeah, I can. And I know now, but at the time, I had no clue what was going on. In my mind, I'm like, stop talking, Ashley. Stop talking. They're going to make you stop drinking. Stop talking. But now I can look back on that, and that is the first time that some kind of higher power was working for me, like, when I couldn't, because I wasn't strong enough. I knew I didn't want to be that way anymore, but I didn't want to necessarily stop drinking. So I went to my first meeting. This woman took me to my first meeting, Drunks Only in Linda Vista. It's still my home group, every day at noon. And the first 6 months were not pretty. I didn't want to get a higher power. I didn't want to work with a sponsor. I didn't want to be honest. I wanted to make men my higher power. I wanted to make other people my higher power. I wanted to make an outside issue that I nearly died from my higher power. I didn't want to do the work. I just thought I didn't have to drink. I didn't think I had to actually do anything, let alone be honest, right? I don't recommend that. I don't recommend being a dry drunk. It's not fun. When I finally started working the steps, it was a completely different experience for me. So what it's like now is, you know, I'm coming up on 3.5 years sober. I have a partner who has never seen me drunk. I've never put my hand on him. I've never cheated on him. I have relationships that I would have never had otherwise. All of my friends are sober. Like 99.5% of them are sober. Thank you. And we have a blast. I didn't think you could have fun sober. I had no idea you'd have fun sober. I sponsor women. I call my sponsor all the time. All the time. She's like my soulmate. She's hilarious. I turn my will and my life over to my higher power, and that's all it has to be. It's mine. It's one I understand. It's one I can do business with. I say the third step prayer every morning, and I make an attempt, right? Because I wake up with this incurable disease every day, and if I don't make that conscious decision to turn my will and my life over to God first thing in the morning, I don't know what's going to happen. And I don't want to test it because my life's really good right now. So I do that every day. I go to a meeting, and I do a 10-step inventory every night. I do what people told me to do. People with time sober, I look at how I've been selfish today. How have I been judgmental? How do I have resentments? Do I owe amends? And I just try to clean up my side of the street, and I work the steps. There they are, the steps. I work the steps, man, because they're right there. There's not like a way to get around it. You can't like fast track your way through sobriety. It doesn't work that way. And life is really good now. I can look at people in the eye, like I can stand in front of people and talk. I'm in grad school. Who knew that my brain was for good for anything? Like mush, basically. Thank you. So if you're new, just keep coming. Just stay, you know, just stick around. Find people, listen to people. If you like what they have, go talk to them. Get to know people. Reach out your hand. I was living in North Carolina last year, and we had this saying that was, I want to be the hand of AA. It's my responsibility if somebody reaches out that there's always a hand reaching back. And I've tried to do that because that's what people have done for me. So thank you guys for letting me share.